When driving the state's highways in the northern third of Wisconsin, you can't help but notice the millions of acres of forest land that surrounds us all. And though they may look as permanent as the ground they grow from, that is hardly the case. Just more than 100 years ago, Wisconsin's forests were nearly obliterated during the mid to late 1800s and early 1900s in order to provide lumber and paper to a fast-growing nation. This spurred action and led to the development of sustainable forestry practices meant to balance the needs of industry and the environment. Today, this hour, we'll talk about the continuation of those efforts with forestry professionals from our region, right here on the West Side. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us on the West Side. I'd like to introduce my guests. Joining me in the studio, we've got two gentlemen with the Department of Natural Resources. First, I'd like to introduce Ron Weber. Ron is a DNR Forest Ranger based in Ladysmith, which is in Rusk County. Ron Weber, welcome to the West Side.
Good morning, Rich. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And we've also got in the studio with us Derek Jochimson. He's the DNR liaison for Rusk County, also working out of the Ladysmith office. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Thanks for being here. And joining us by phone, we have John Harris. John is the Douglas County Director of Forestry and Natural Resources. He joins us from his office up there in Douglas County. I say up there geographically as I'm in Eau Claire, but that doesn't matter. John Harris, welcome.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. We're going to talk about a whole host of things related to forestry. Part of that is a new program that the DNR is rolling out, trying to connect with 20,000 landowners in 5 years in order to get some sort of conservation practices going on their properties. And it's all about engagement. Also, we're going to talk about forest management, what forests mean to counties, and Douglas County by far has the largest forests in the state. And then we'll also talk about some pests. We've all heard about EAB, the emerald ash borer, and also oak wilt is a big issue. So we're going to talk about those issues as well. And also, even though there's plenty of snow on the ground in the forests in the north, we're just about right on the heels of fire season. So, and already there have been 30 wildfires across the state this year. And just this weekend, there was one on the border with Chippewa and Barron County. So 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or if you've got comments. So let's start. I want to go straight to Ron Weber. And, the DNR is hoping to connect with 20,000 landowners with the goal of moving 1 million acres toward sustainable forestry in the next 5 years. When did this this initiative begin, and why?
Well, its infancy has been for quite some time now, but I guess formally, last year, our chief state forester, Fred Shoba, gave us the charge of coming up with a strategy to reach out to private landowners that are presently don't have any kind of management plan or there's a continuum here. Some people may have ideas and thought about what they want to do with their forests. Other people may not have really any plan at all. Our whole goal is to try and reach out to those people that do not have any kind of forest or formal plans and get them to, talk to a professional, DNR forester or our cooperators, private consulting foresters, and come up with a plan to move their forests into being managed in some sort of sustainable fashion. Just a real brief history. You had mentioned in your intro that Wisconsin has 17, between 16 and 17 million acres of forest. That's 46% of the landscape of Wisconsin is forested. Mm-hmm. Public forests make up about 32% of that. Roughly about 5 million acres.
And that's a combination of what, federal, state, county, et cetera?
Yep, exactly. You hit it right on the head, Rich. Private forests are 10.5 million acres, and that's 60% of the forest landscape. And so we're talking about a big resource here that You know, most of the forests in Wisconsin are in private ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're just trying to come up with a strategy to reach out to as many of those people as we can and get them on board with, you know, doing the best things for their properties, understanding, you know, what their goals are, what their wishes are for their property, and trying to work with them to make them realize that then. And that's what we're hoping for.
And it's an ambitious goal. 5 years is the timeline. I'm sure that the effort won't end then. I mean, I imagine that sustainable forestry on private lands is a continuing thing. So, listeners, if you've got a question or comment, if you've got wooded property and you're living in forest land, I mean, this is a statewide initiative, it sounds like, but definitely northern Wisconsin has the lion's share of the forest in the state. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 1-800-228-5615. Have you done any sort of management on your forest land, on your private property? Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Ron Weber, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, and as you said, you know, the forests are all across the state. We're looking to get people from all corners of the state involved within this program. We have in the neighborhood of about 133,000 landowners that own 10-plus acres.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are people that do not have any kind of formal plan. They haven't talked to resource professionals or have a stewardship or a management plan in place. So our goal, you know, and again, goals are always important. It gives us something to reach for. So we've set this goal of 20,000 landowners over the next 5 years, and trying to move 1 million acres into some type of sustainable forestry. That comes out to about 50 acres per landowner. So again, as I said earlier, it's 133,000 with 10 acres or more. Hopefully we're going to get some of the big time landowners that own 160, 200 acres, but we're willing to work again with whatever forest you have to work with. We're going to be there to try and help you. And so that's our plan, and that's hopefully what we can reach here in the next 5 years.
We'll get into that a bit, and we do have a caller coming in right now that we'll go to in just a moment. But I wanted to bring in Derek Jochimson here, and then I want to get to John Harris in Douglas County. So Derek, your role in the DNR, you're a county liaison. So are you working with people like, you know, county forest land managers, and you know what are you trying to accomplish in your role?
Sure. My main duties is the main point of contact for the county forest administrator, and that point of contact is between the the county forestry personnel and the DNR. So I will try and connect them with specialists within the department, whether that be forest health or watershed or any type of ecologist, trying to connect them, get them resources, and we provide so many hours of assistance to the county each year. A lot of that is done in the form of timber sale establishment and helping them get resource management done on the ground. So that's my main duties, the main point of contact with the county forest administrator. We also help them to abide by the county forest law, and so the, you know, the different aspects of that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's there. You know, when I was thinking about we were doing a show on forestry, I thought, well, how interesting can it be? But man, the history, the county forest law for one, then you've got the managed forest law. There's just a lot of different aspects to this, which I found pretty fascinating. John Harris, I want to go to you as the director of the forestry and natural resources in Douglas County. I mean, what's your role? I mean, what are you overseeing? Because, you know, Douglas County is the largest county, geographically speaking, but it also really kind of trumps the rest of the state in terms of the number of trees, number of acres you've got in forest land.
Yeah, so my role here in Douglas County is I strictly deal with those county-owned lands that are enrolled in the county forest law. And you're correct, Douglas County here in Wisconsin, there's 29 county forests. We are the largest county forest in the state of Wisconsin. Collectively, the 29 counties in Wisconsin make up the largest county forest program in the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
Ron talked about the public lands acreages in the state, and of about the five, I think he mentioned about 5 million public land acres or forested acres in the state. The county forest program collectively is 2.4 million acres comprised of those 29 counties. And the majority of those counties are in the northern kind of third and a few in the central part of the state. But here in Douglas County, we have just over 280,000 acres of land that we manage for the county. And we manage that for its timber production as well as some of the ecological, biological kind of values that land holds, and we have a very robust outdoor recreation program as well. It's very important to many northern counties up here is that the county forests are public lands and adds to the quality of life up here.
It definitely does, and I've been a frequent user. I grew up in Superior of the county lands. It's really, really nice to be able to get out there and explore. So we do have a caller right now. I wanted to get to Mike in Rusk County. Mike, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. You know, my family, extended family, I should say, we've been property owners, wildland property owners in Rusk County for many decades now. And also, we have a long history in both the county and state forest management programs in Rusk County, mainly in the western half of the county. And I'll tell you, we've been... I'm managing some property which was enrolled in the original rollout of the forest crop law many years ago and evolved into managed forest law. I've always seen the benefit to us as a landowner, but I'm really concerned when you say you're going to try to go out and enroll more people into the program when, as someone who's been in some of those programs, and all of our forested land is in managed forest law right now, I don't know if I'm going to continue. And, you know, that comes to, in the last 8 to 9 years, there has been a drastic cutback on the incentives for private owners to stay in the program. The rates have been going up as far as, you know, the actual property tax paid has been going up. Well, we have been forced into going out to consulting foresters to get new forest plans drawn up. And some of these consulting foresters, by the time you take the rates that or the property tax rates changes, and then you add the consulting forest fees, I don't see where we're coming out as an incentive to enroll in these programs. And I'd really like to hear your responses in that regard.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Mike. Ron Weber, that's you. So when they talk about incentives, the way it works is that there's a property tax break if you enroll in the managed forest law?
Well, thanks for the question, Mike. What I was suggesting here wasn't necessarily that we're looking to enroll more people into the MFL program. All we're trying to do is reach out to more people to have a professional forester, whether that be a DNR forester or a private consultant, come and do a walkthrough. Now, the DNR foresters are more than happy, and we've been through our reorganization process a couple of years ago, that the MFL tax law has been given over to tax law specialists within each county. And that's freed up some opportunities for other foresters that all foresters kind of delved in tax law a little bit. Now we've got specialists. And so the rest of us foresters are free to go out and work with private landowners that just maybe want to have a property walkthrough. They're not interested in getting in the MFL maybe. They just want to know what kind of wood they have on their forest. Is it worth anything? Should they have a harvest? Maybe they've been looking at it and thinking, man, these trees are getting close together. It looks kind of crowded in here. Maybe I should do something, but I'm not really sure. So that's what we're really talking about here, is reaching out to people that just want to have some help with their forests. We're not really looking to, you know, steer them into MFL per se. If they choose that route, if they feel that's something that might be beneficial to them, you know, from a tax incentive, that's their prerogative. But again, we're just trying to help them wherever they're at on the continuum right now as far as working with their land.
And Mike, aside from the tax breaks that you saw and the changes of that, you know, what has it been like being in the MFL program? I mean, have you did it help you understand what was on the properties, and did it help you, did you do any logging, through the program?
Since I'm in my mid 50s, and on two of the properties, I know we've gone through our third generation of cutting. Those are aspen setups. I'm extremely familiar with the program. But the challenges really have been is that when we went to get our, this is going back, 3-4 years now, when we went to go back and try to get things set up for our next contract and so forth, it was just astounding at the additional costs that were being presented to us and quite frankly too much overhead. So it's been a challenge. And there is also there's the open closed issue for public access.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the open stuff, their current interpretation, it has been that way for quite a while, but I really would like to see a reevaluation of just exactly what it means to be open, saying that it's treated exactly the same way as a state park or a state forest is, in my sense, and I think that's a little bit of a reach. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be driving people out of the program as a result.
Gotcha. Mike, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. So this brings up a good distinction, because when I first was thinking about, the conservation efforts and connecting with these landowners, I kind of assumed it was going to be through the Managed Forest Law program. So Ron Weber or Derek, what kind of things, you talked about connecting and doing a walkthrough. Does that mean a person has to enroll in anything, or what are the kind of steps they can take short of the MFL?
Right. This is not a binding agreement. All we're looking for is contacts. We want to get a contact with them, and we're going to talk with them, find out what their goals are for their property, how do they use their property, what do they want to see. Do they have an economic interest? Do they just have an aesthetics interest? Is it for a lot of people up here? It's wildlife. They want to attract more wildlife to their property.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at, see where they're at, meet them there. And then we're going to go to have a walkthrough on their property and then just discuss things that we see that they could do to help them reach their goals and objectives. Now, if they want to have a more formal management plan done, the DNR foresters can write up what's called a stewardship plan. They can also have a more formal management plan written up, and we are going to, forests are assets,
mm-hmm.
and so it behooves a landowner to have a plan for what their forests are going to, be in the future. And, a good example of that would be the EAB that we're going to hopefully talk about a little bit later.
Definitely.
That's going to be a major game changer for, it already has in much of Wisconsin, and it's creeping into northern Wisconsin. If I'm a landowner in northern Wisconsin, we have a lot of ash percentages within our forests up here.
Yeah.
We better have a plan. So that's what we're looking for. We're just looking to meet the landowners, try and get them moving down the road towards managing their property sustainably. And if that includes a harvest, so be it. But it's not necessarily that. Just trying to get them to come up with a plan for their property.
All right. Thanks for that. Derek Jockimson.
I think a lot of landowners are looking for information and maybe just don't know where to start. And knowing that the DNR is here and available, and it's a free call, we'll go out and walk through your property for free and get that information started. And then we can put together a plan, a stewardship plan, lay out what kind of trees they have, if there's harvesting needs or not. And it's up to them, really, if they want to carry that forward. But at least they have the information in hand. If they want to talk to a logger, they know what they're talking about. And a lot of that groundwork is kind of hashed out ahead of time. And that's the main point of what we're looking to do.
Cool. We're talking about sustainable forestry in northern Wisconsin and an ambitious goal by the Department of Natural Resources to reach out to 20,000 landowners in hopes of bringing sustainable forest management techniques to an additional 1 million acres of private forest land across the state. We're also going to be talking very shortly about, you know, what forests mean for counties. I mean, Douglas County, it's a huge revenue source. Also, we're going to talk about pests, the infamous EAB and oak wilt, and then, of course, we'll, if we have time, we'll sneak in some talk about wildfires. So I am joined by Ron Weber of the DNR, Derek Jockumson of the DNR, and John Harris of Douglas County. Stick around. If you've got questions or comments, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615.
Contributors to WPR include Washington Island Chamber, Maggie's Restaurant, and the John Michael Kohler Art Center. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Pablo Center at the Confluence. Chamber ensemble Brooklyn Rider performs Healing Modes, a program that includes Beethoven's Opus 132. April 10th in the Jamf Theater. PabloCenter.org.
Welcome back to the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us. This hour we're talking about forest management. What does it mean and why is it important to do it? The Department of Natural Resources is hoping to reach out within the next 5 years to 20,000 landowners who may be interested in some sort of forest management conservation techniques on their property. The goal is to get 1 million acres into some sort of sustainable practices within the next 5 years. We're also going to be talking this hour about the danger of disease and the beginning of wildfire season in northern Wisconsin. I'm joined by John Harris. He's Douglas County Director of Forestry and Natural Resources. Also joined by Derek Jockumson, DNR Liaison for Rusk County, and Ron Weber, DNR Forest Ranger, based in Ladysmith. 1-800-228-5615. Very simple question. I want to go to John Harris on this, but it's a question that any of you could answer, I'm sure. You know, what is forest management? I mean, why is it important? Because when I look out and I see a stand of trees on someone's back 40, I think, well, you could just leave it and it'll do its thing. But, you know, why is that wrong?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say just leaving it is wrong. That's just it's all in perspective and opinion, Rich. You know, you asked what forest management is. Forest management is basically taking a landowner's goals and what they want to experience or what values that they value the most on their property, and you just try to maximize those goals, and those goals can come in many different shapes and forms. Here in the county forest, when we manage our property here, timber production, sustainable fiber production is a big goal of ours, A side benefit of that is, you know, you're managing against forest health, insect and disease issues, forest aesthetics, biodiversity, the wildlife habitat that you're trying to provide out there. But forest management is basically managing your forest towards an end goal or trying to perpetuate certain types of values that that property is going to provide the owner. And that could be very different from one landowner to the next, especially on the private side of things. But in the public sector, on the forest I work on, it's basically towards that sustainable production of timber for the revenue that we can capture, managing for that healthy forest. And then also, you know, you can try to reduce your risk to wildfire and promote the outdoor recreational aspect of the property as well.
I started looking, you know, when I was doing research, UW-Stevens Point had a lot of really great information on their website about forestry. And, you know, I read a little bit about something called the cutover. And this is, you know, back in the mid to late 1800s and early 1900s when logging, I mean, really went kind of unrestricted across the state, it seems. And, you know, that caused all kinds of issues like forest fires afterwards because there was a lot of dried waste left behind. And, I mean, it was said on this website that thousands of people died because of that. I wasn't able to confirm that anywhere else. But still, it's, you know, it's really interesting, the history we've got. And Lord knows, Eau Claire and so many other, I mean, Ladysmith, Weyerhaeuser, logging and the timber industry really built this northern third of the state. So it's just a fascinating history. Now, we've gone, did these practices, the stewardship and all that kind of stem from a reaction, a public reaction to what happened, you know, in the when the cutover happened. Derek Jockumston, I'll go to you.
Yeah, that's kind of how the County Forest Program came to be. These lands were left tax delinquent. And
what does that mean?
Basically, they were more of a liability than an asset. Landowners couldn't pay the taxes on them. They let them go back to the county. Mm. And those lands were then converted into county forests. A lot of tree planting was done. And, you know, at first, they weren't bringing in much revenue. They were these lands were more of a liability. They had been burned over and in a lot of places probably considered more wasteland. But the counties took over and the state with help from the state. And, you know, a lot of tree planting was done. Trees started growing. And now we have a very productive and economical county forest.
Ron Weber, I mean, is there, I saw that some the terms like we've recovered or the forest recovered quite a bit. In general, is there ways that you and I can go out and look, I guess me and other lay people, look and see, you know, the remnants of what happened, you know, because when I see forest, again, it seems permanent. It seems like it's been there forever, but, you know, how would it look differently? I always hear about, you know, original pines or stands of them in parts of the state, but there's not really much of that.
Yeah, what we have left is remnants. I mean, there are still remnant pockets of what we would consider
old growth
that missed out on being harvested back in the time period you were talking about.
But did the forest change because of this? I mean, do we have different species that wouldn't have been here otherwise? Anything like that?
Successionally, you know, succession is always going to happen within a forest system. When you set it back the way it was done during what you referred to as a cutover, it certainly changed the makeup of the landscape for a period of time. But the landscape is always, given its own accord, is always headed towards what's called a climax community. What type of forest that particular site and soil will be able to produce. Mm. Now, through forest management, we can change that a little bit because we are, you know, now we're a force here. We harvest, and so in many cases, we're not allowing succession to occur all the way to its climax stage for a variety of reasons, and probably way too many to go into on the show here today.
Sure.
But, yeah, there's still places within Wisconsin where you can go see what old forests look like. But by and large, what you're seeing is a much younger, you know, forest type, and not quite the same as what was here before the cutover. That's for sure.
Yeah, just the pictures, the historical photos of the, you know, the lumberjacks taking out these trees that were like 20 feet wide, and there's some crazy thing like that. It was amazing. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about forest management. Specifically, we're talking about the DNR's goal to connect 20,000 landowners with a DNR forest professional, with the hopes of getting some sort of sustainable management going on that property, 1 million acres within the next 5 years. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. So, Ron Weber, I'll go back to you. Do you find that people are hesitant or maybe leery when the DNR wants to have a conversation with them about their private property? Because, you know, the private property rights and the sense of private property is really ingrained in us that it's ours and, you know, the government, you know, trying to control it. So how do you break through that what do people say when you kind of lay out what you're hoping to do?
Well, I mean, certainly there is an aspect of that, but all we can do is extend a welcoming hand and open arms and hopefully, you know, sell it in a way, and not even sell it, just offer that walkthrough, mm-hmm. That contact. You know, and it starts with a phone call. We're gonna try to advertise in a variety of mediums. You know, we have a website that, you know, www.dnr.wi.gov. You can go there, keyword forestry. There is a wealth of information on that website. Look through it, read through it, and, you know, the contact information's then is there. You can contact Forester locator. You can click on your county, see who the foresters are in that region, and give them a call. And as I said before, there's nothing binding here. We're just looking to reach out to people and help them where they're at on their forests. And as John said earlier, taking into account their goals, their objectives, and their values for their property, we're not going to make them do anything. It's their property.
1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. I want to jump right into disease management. And so Douglas County, back in 2013, there was a EAB found in the city of Superior, which is kind of in the northern, northwestern corner of Douglas County. And, what did that mean to your department, and what does it mean for the county as a whole, John Harris?
Sure, that brings back some not so good memories.
Yeah, I mean, how serious is it? How fast does it spread? That sort of thing, because I think the city of Superior cut down all of its ash trees, and there's been a lot of cities that have done that kind of preemptively, it seems.
Yeah, when EAB was first discovered in Douglas County, and I think it was August of 2013. It was an urban street tree in the city of Superior, and at the time, we were the furthest northern locale in the Midwest where EAB was discovered. And obviously, it has a twofold component, because you have the urban aspect of it, city of Superior. There's a lot of shade trees and a lot of street trees that are ash trees that are planted. And then also, we have such a large commercial forest base up here. Those were the two risks. And at the time, there wasn't an awful lot of research, and there was very little that we could pull from at a commercial scale of how to kind of prepare and get ready for EAB. The state was the DNR at the time was kind of in the process of developing their silvicultural guidelines for EAB management, which is basically more of a forestry side of emerald ash borer management. There had been a lot of urban, case studies in Ohio, southern Wisconsin, Illinois, where the cities have gone through preemptively and either harvested, removed their ash trees, or they inoculated them to try to kind of be disease insect resistant to the beetle. But we developed the best plan that we could for when that insect hit the county forest land base. The city of Superior, the way we are geographically here in Douglas County, is there's about a 12 or 15 mile stretch from the city before as you head south, before you hit the first kind of front of county forest holdings.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this date, it has not been detected on any county forest land from that original finding. So there's been some research here in the last few years about the extra winter temperatures or the colder climate up here is having a more of an impact on the larval development stages of EAB, and it's maybe kind of slowed the spread of it, or it's had an impact there, but we have not implemented any of our plan directly as far as any salvage harvesting of any EAB infected ash trees in the county forest. And we do manage 26,000 acres of what we consider like a black ash type here in Douglas County. So if and or when it hits our property, there's an awful lot of resource and feed for this beetle. And all the research says it's going to hit. We just don't know when.
So black ash seems to be the tree most susceptible, or the species of ash most susceptible to that?
I don't think black ash is most susceptible. Black ash is just probably the most naturally occurring ash up here in northwestern Wisconsin. Maybe white ash would be kind of a second. Green ash is a street tree that a lot of cities and urban landscapes use to plant a lot. Black ash isn't used for plantings. All ash trees are susceptible. I would imagine maybe some are a little bit more susceptible than others. But in a natural forest setting up here, black ash is by far your number one ash species, and that is very susceptible to the beetle.
So if it does, or I mean if and when it sounds like, does cross in and get into county forest land, does that mean you have to expedite the heck out of ash production or something?
That's kind of what our plan right now details. Ash is a tough species to kind of manage, black ash, because where it occurs, it's in very lowland-type soils, so almost like swampy-type soils. And those soils are inherently very difficult sometimes to log in because they have a tough time supporting heavy logging equipment. So you have to be in there on those years or those winters when you get those 25, 30 below nights to get everything firmed up really, really well. But yeah, that's what our kind of plan is. If it gets into those stands and it's starting to have this large, wide-scale effect, we're here to try to salvage that and capture as much economic value of those trees before the borer kills them. So we're kind of the case study, at least at the time, but we just haven't been able to implement the plan yet because the beetle has not spread to anywhere in our property that we're aware of at this point in time.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about sustainable forest management, but also pests, you know, emerald ash borer and oak wilt, and there's probably a number of others that I'm totally unfamiliar with, but if you've got questions about what's going on your property, give us a call. We've got a gentleman from the DNR and Douglas County to speak with you. So let's go to Dave in Rice Lake. What's on your mind, Dave?
A couple hundred acres or a little more up in Washburn County, and I've both been in the MFL program and have done some logging prior to logging over the last 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I'm up here boiling sap right now.
Mm.
But I wanted to point out is that if people can get into the programs that you're talking about right now at no cost, that is really a great thing. Because I've done logging before the MFL and just sort of tried to guess on my own when I should do and what I should do, and it didn't turn out well for the property. But then once I got into the MFL, I had a certified forester come and walk through the property, and we picked out the trees and we set up a plan. But it's not cheap, is my point. I mean, I think that fellow's name was Mike earlier,
mm-hmm.
saying, over the years, you know, the price you pay for your property, especially if it's closed to the public, you know, open and closed land, is getting more expensive. And to hire a professional certified forester is expensive. I personally think it's a bargain if you do it properly, but I just wanted to warn others that getting into the MFL can be expensive. But if you can get into the program that you're talking about without costs now and have a registered or certified forester walk your property, I would really encourage people to do it because they know a lot more than certainly I knew at the time.
Hey, thanks so much for the call, Dave. I really appreciate it. Derek Jockimson, you know, what is your response to Dave?
Well, again, I would say what we're looking to do is not necessarily the MFL program, but I agree. Anytime landowners can get some information for free, and that's what the DNR would initially provide for them, a walkthrough, a forest stewardship plan. All of those are, there's no obligation on the landowner to follow through. There's no financial obligation. It's just simply getting them some information to get them started. And then, you know, where they take it from there is entirely up to them.
Ron Weber?
And I think another point that Dave brought up is a good one. Private consulting foresters are going to be, there is going to be a fee involved when you have one come out to do a write up a management plan or help you set up a timber harvest, those kinds of things. And they provide a wealth of services. They're very much partners with us. And the reality, though, is we have dealt, both Derek and I and probably every forester in the state, have dealt with landowners that had a harvest done on their property without a professional forester involved. And a lot of times we'll get calls from these people, and then they're not happy. They want to know ways to fix their land and make things better.
Sure.
You don't want to get into that situation. That's where the consulting foresters, a professional forester, is going to help make sure that if a harvest has to happen, if there's going to be a harvest done, that it's going to be done correctly, and it's going to be done in a way so that there's no surprises to the landowner when all of a sudden the harvest is over.
What are some of the surprises? Like, what's an example? Like, a timber company does more than they expected?
Exactly. Could be. Or it could be that, you know, by having a consulting forester come out and mark their property, let's say they have to have a select cut done on their hardwood stand. If they have a consulting forester come out, he's going to mark that property for them, you know, under using guidelines that we do for sustainable forestry. And they'll be able to see what trees are going to be cut out and, you know, how big of a change is this going to be for my woodlot or my landscape here.
Sure.
So they'll have an idea going in, whereas if if that doesn't happen, they may be surprised. And that's especially true for people that are that don't live, you know, they live down in southern Wisconsin, they own property in northern Wisconsin, they set up the sale, and, you know, they're not there to watch it happening, and then all of a sudden they come up one weekend and their forest looks completely different, and they're shocked, and they're, a lot of times they're a little bit dismayed and unhappy. You know, those are the kinds of things that having a professional forester involved will, and the cost, you know, the cost has come up several times. The cost is going to be far, far, far offset by the harvest. And it's a cost that, you know, you're only harvesting your trees on a very, you know, trees grow kind of slow. So it's not going to be like a cost you're recurring every year. It's a one, you know, it's a cost, but you're going to get paid back, and it's worth it. It's you know, I don't want to say an insurance policy, but it's well worth the money spent to get your make sure that your land is professionally and sustainably managed.
All right, with that, let's take our final break here on the west side. We're talking about forestry in the northern third of the state, well, across the entire state, with DNR staffers. We've got DNR Forest Ranger Ron Weber with us and DNR Liaison for Rusk County, Derek Jacobson. Also on the phone from his office in Douglas County is John Harris. He's the Director of Forestry and Natural Resources for the county, which has a ton of trees up there. So if you've got a question or comment, give us a call. We do have two callers on the line. Hang tight. We'll get to you right after this break. This is the West Side.
Hi, I'm Dan Robinson, host of Simply Folk. Join me as we celebrate Simply Folk's 40th anniversary with a live concert on Friday, June 7th at Shannon Hall in Madison. See two Best Folk Album Grammy nominees, Dom Flemons, co-founder of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and Mary Gachet. Get tickets and more information at wpr.org/presents.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin-Madison, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Stay up to date with WPR's Politics Podcast. WPR's Sean Johnson, Laurel White, and John K. Wilson connect you to the Capitol every week. Listen to past episodes and subscribe at wpr.org/politics.
Welcome back to the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning for a discussion about forestry and forest management. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. I'm joined by John Harris. He's Douglas County Director of Forestry and Natural Resources. Also with me in the studio are Ron Weber and Derek Jacobson. Derek is a DNR liaison for Rusk County, and Ron Weber is a forest ranger based in Ladysmith. 1-800-228-5615. Back to the phones. We go to Shelley Intrigo. You're on the air. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I actually have two questions. And the first one is the minimum amount of acreage that's worth the investment to have a forester come and survey your land. We don't have a lot. There's like 4 acres of wooded, lots of mostly oak and pine and birch. And the other question, with that question, just, we also have a lot of field and have a couple acres there, and my brother butts our land, and he's got 30 acres, and we've talked about returning that to forest land, because it trigos a lot of sand, and looking at trying to rebuild that soil.
Sure.
So that's part of the one question. And the other one I was just curious about is DNR. In a lot of this, talking about forestry management, how they partner with or work with the tribal entities. Menominee's got such a fantastic forestry program, and wondering if that has that kind of involvement has helped with sustainable forestry management.
All right.
And then I'll get off the air. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-228-5615. It's getting real close to the end of the hour here, but Derek Jacobson, I want to make it a Y, but so you know, what's the minimum for, because I think with managed forest lawn, a lot of people are kind of assuming we're talking about that, it sounds like, but not necessarily. I think that's 10 or 20 acres, but, you know, what do you tell these people? And also, this was a perfect segue for seed planting or seedlings. So what do you tell Shelly?
Right. Yeah, great question. I don't believe that there's a minimum acreage for a landowner to request help for. 4 acres, there's a lot of things you could gather from having a forester come out and walk that, whether it be forest health, invasive species, you know, if there's different things you can do. And you never know, there may be a harvest going on nearby in the future that they would be willing to come over, and if there's management needed on that 4 acres, they could piggyback on another timber sale and help you get a little bit of timber cut. So I would say no minimum, and don't be afraid to make the call and ask for help regardless of what your situation is. As far as the open areas, I think those are great areas to put a tree planting in. DNR offers seedlings and many other nurseries, and having a forester come out and take a look at that, you can talk about how to prep that land to have it planted, what species would be best suited for your soil type, and spacing, how many trees to plant, all that type of stuff, getting you in contact with people who do that for a service. There's tons of information you can get if you reach out and talk to a professional.
And John Harris, I don't want to have you sitting there waiting for us to call on you, but as far as, you know, I know that you're working on the county-owned lands, but if someone has a question and they're not sure who to get a hold of, can they go through your office? I mean, do you offer any assistance to the private landowners?
I mean, we offer a little bit, kind of just telephone-type assistance. You know, we typically, if it's a, we'll point individuals towards the DNR. You know, the DNR is tasked with that private forest land assistance in the states. And but, yeah, I mean, we'll help people. We have telephone conversations, that type of stuff. Obviously, with 280,000 acres, we have a lot of neighbors. Their neighbors contact us quite a bit and ask why we're doing certain things and if they should be doing those on their property and that type of stuff. But sure. We work very closely with the DNR, and the DNR has the folks and the program set up for that private forestry assistance. And typically, if you know, if the conversation goes a little bit further than just that initial phone conversation, we point them towards the DNR.
All right, thanks for that. And Ron Weber, as far as the tribal, you know, the relationship with the tribal governments, you know, how does the DNR work with them? Because I lived in Shawano for a while, and the Menominee County Forest, I mean, it's there's so much ag land around there, and then you can see it from space when you look at the space satellite thing. The entire county is a chunk of forest. So does the DNR have any role in that since it's tribal sovereign nation?
I have to be honest with you, Rich. I'm not. I have no knowledge of our working relationship with them.
Sure.
Whether we do or not, I'm not sure. So
fair enough. And we've got Dave in Amory. And Dave, you're probably going to be the last call of the day. So lucky you. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, sir?
So I have an issue with deer damage in my forest. I cannot grow an oak tree. Aspen regeneration is problematic. I've probably put several hundred cages around my oak trees. And my land is heavily hunted by neighbors, friends, family, and we cannot kill enough deer to get that population down because we don't have the opportunity. In the past, I was able to get forest damage permits, but in the last year or so, DNR has changed the rules on that, so that if you apply for a deer damage tag for forestry, you automatically have to open up your land to the general public for a period of 3 years. And like I say, I have friends and neighbors and family that hunt that. It's not like it's not hunted. And if I apply for ag damage permits, I do not have to open up my land. And so I'm just wondering, is that kind of counterproductive if you have somebody that wants to control the deer on their land? They don't have the opportunity. By the time deer season comes, the deer are so nocturnal, you maybe get a day or two, and then they just plain don't make themselves available during daylight hours.
Well, I'm sorry to hear what you're dealing with there, and that you know, what Dave's talking about is something that came up in the deer trustee report, actually, too, that the number of deer, you know, he was claiming that there were too many deer and it was causing issues for the professional timber industry. Derek Aron, any suggestions for Dave? Derek, well, you're on the hot seat.
Yeah, I can't speak specifically to how they're handing out tags and you know, if it has to open your land to the public to come in and hunt or not. I do know deer are an issue, and they definitely impact the regeneration of a forest if the numbers are not in check. So it sounds like you're doing everything you can. I don't have much more to offer up other than you know, potentially go to your county CDAC meetings and voice your concern about the deer numbers in your area.
Yep, and that's where they decide whether to increase or decrease the herd size.
Correct.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks for that. And so we got to talk about forest fires because we've got like 1 minute. So it's almost wildfire season. The southern portion of the state has already had a number of them. I talked with the DNR wildfire specialist Catherine Cooley last week, and there was already 30 events, and there was some activity over this weekend. So, you know, what is your advice to landowners to kind of prevent that? And what's best practices here, Ron?
Well, the best practices is to burn smartly and burn safely and burn legally. And the best way to do that is to take advantage of our burn permit system in areas of the state that are under DNR protection. You need to have a burn permit in order to burn. Check out our website, again, www.dnr.wi.gov, go keyword fire. It'll come up with our burn permit system. It'll show the different areas of the state and where you need a permit and where you do not. Some areas of the state are governed by their local ordinances, towns and municipalities. Other areas of the state are under DNR protection. So find out if you need a permit and then get one. And follow the regulations. Check daily before you burn what the regulations are for that day. Debris burning is the number one cause of wildfires in the state. The fine grassy fuels that we have, that's our main fuel type in much of Wisconsin, they're going to dry out really quick once this snow leaves. It all takes is one day or two of sun and a little bit of wind, and we can have fires. And a lot of times people just are taken by surprise on how quickly that fire can spread through grass.
It really is something how it changes almost overnight. So that's our time. I want to thank my guests for today, Ron Weber, DNR Forest Ranger, Derek Jochimson, DNR Liaison for Russ County, and John Harris, Douglas County Director of Forestry and Natural Resources. Thank you all so much. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.